Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So today we're diving into a really fundamental question, one that sort of redefines how we look at cancer progression.
Yeah, specifically in melanoma, which is one of the deadliest skin cancers out there.
For decades, you know, when a cancer turns lethal, when it gets resistant to drugs, we immediately look for a genetic mistake.
A new mutation, something in the DNA.
Exactly. But what if one of the biggest drivers of that deadly switch isn't a gene at all? What if it's something, as simple as just being squeezed?
That's the whole idea of plasticity.
Right, this remarkable ability of a cancer cell to just switch its entire job description, its phenotype.
And in melanoma, that switch is, I mean, it's literally the difference between life and death.
So that's the big question for you. If a tumor cell is being physically confined, you know, crushed by the tissue around it, what's its emergency response?
And how could that simple physical force completely rewrite its playbook?
Making it aggressive, mobile, and totally impervious to our best drugs. That's the powerful connection we're going to unpack in this deep dive.
It's a fascinating story.
Before we jump into the details, we really have to recognize the sheer scale of this investigation.
Oh, absolutely. Connecting a physical force to a molecular change like this is no small feat.
So today we're celebrating the work of teams primarily based at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, but also with huge contributions from the University of Oxford and NYU Langone Health.
They used a truly multi-scale approach to prove how these mechanical forces really do reshape cancer.
So set the stage for us. What's the core scientific problem they were tackling here?
It all comes down to phenotype switching in melanoma. We've known for a long time that these cells can switch between two extremes.
Okay, what are the two extremes?
So on one side, you have the proliferative cell. This one is busy growing, making copies of itself. It has high levels of differentiation markers like MITF.
And that's the one we can target with drugs, generally speaking.
That's the one. But then you have the other side of the coin.
The nightmare scenario.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The aggressive, invasive, and highly drug-resistant state. And this ability to just switch hats, you know, without a new DNA mutation, that's always been a hallmark of melanoma.
It's what researchers call the go or grow hypothesis, right?
Precisely. The cell kind of optimizes for one behavior. It can either grow, meaning proliferate fast, or it can go, meaning move and invade.
But it rarely does both well at the same time.
Oh, it's a trade-off.
So wait, is that why treating early stage melanoma is often successful? Because the cells are still in that grow phase.
You've got it. The moment that switch gets flipped, the cancer changes. It goes from being a manageable, superficial tumor to that deadly, invasive form.
The form that resists even our best immunotherapies.
And that's why finding the trigger, the cue from the tumor microenvironment that flips that switch, has been the holy grail.
And the hypothesis was that physical pressure had to be one of those cues.
It was, but proving it was the really hard part.
Okay, so let's talk about how they proved it. Their approach was incredibly clever. Starting with an in vivo model.
Right, they used a transgenic zebrafish.
A zebrafish that was engineered to get a human-like melanoma.
Yes, driven by the BRAAFE600E mutation, just like in many human patients, so they could watch the cancer invade in a living, breathing organism.
And then they brought in the heavy-duty mapping tools, spatially resolved transcriptomics, and single-cell RNA-seq.
And they used those tools to profile the cells right at the invasive interface.
Why that interface specifically?
Because that's the boundary. That's the front line where the tumor is physically pressing against the host tissue. By looking only at those cells, they could see the molecular instructions being used for the invasion.
And crucially, this wasn't just in fish.
No, and that's so important. They cross-referenced everything with a huge public data set from 31 human melanoma patients.
Many of whom had become resistant to therapy.
Which is what really validated the whole study in a human context.
But the real clincher was isolating the pressure itself, cause from correlation.
Exactly. For that, they used a beautiful in vitro confinement system. They took human melanoma cells and they physically squashed them.
Using a polished piston made of PDMS, I think?
That's right, polymethyl siloxane. And when you say squashed, you mean extreme confinement.
Yeah, they were defining the space down to only 3 micrometers high.
3 micrometers. I mean, just to put that in perspective, for everyone, that is 30 times thinner than a human hair.
Wow. So they were forcing these cells to survive under intense, very defined mechanical pressure.
So what did they see? What did the cells actually look like under all that stress?
Well, that's where the findings get really interesting. First, just their shape told the story.
Their morphology.
Right. The cells at that invasive interface in both the zebrafish and the human samples had these highly elongated elliptical nuclei.
That stretched out shape is the classic signature of a cell under intense pressure. They were literally being distorted.
And that physical distortion caused a profound molecular identity crisis. The squeezed cells fired up a gene program linked to an undifferentiated state.
So they were losing their original identity as pigment cells.
They were. But here's the really surprising twist. They started adopting markers that are normally associated with neuronal development.
Neuronal development, you mean like nerve cells?
Exactly, like nerve cells.
Why on earth would a cancer cell want to act like a neuron?
It's a brilliant survival tactic when you think about it. Neurons, and the neural crest cells they come from, are absolute masters of migration.
Ah, of sensing their environment and moving through it?
Precisely. So genes like SOX11 and NeuroD1, which basically govern how the nervous system is built, were highly upregulated. The cell hijacks that program to get better at moving.
While at the same time shutting down the grow genes like MITF.
So the squeeze flips the identity. It turns on this aggressive mobile neuronal program. But how does the cell actually survive being crushed? How does it stop its nucleus from just rupturing?
That is an excellent question. It needs reinforcement, a structural fix.
And they found one.
They did. Confinement rapidly triggered a remodeling of the cell's internal scaffolding, the microtubule cytoskeleton.
And this created what they called a cage.
A stable, dense, paranuclear acetylated tubulin cage. It physically encircles the nucleus.
So it's like a structural bodyguard.
Yeah.
The nucleus is the biggest, stiffest thing in the cell, so it's the most vulnerable.
Exactly. So the cell builds a cage around it to protect it. It's a defense mechanism.
And it's similar to what actual neurons use when they migrate through tight spaces.
It is. The key is tubulin acetylation. An enzyme called ATT1 handles it. And this process makes the microtubule network incredibly stiff and resistant to being broken down.
Okay, so the cell builds this physical defense, but what's the molecular trigger inside the nucleus? What senses that crushing force and turns on the whole invasion program?
That was the big mystery they solved. They identified a specific mediator as a DNA-bending protein called HMGB2.
High mobility group box 2.
That's the one. And its concentration just shot up under confinement and nearly doubled in the squeezed cells.
And they could even see it visually, right?
They could. They found a strong inverse correlation. The flatter and more squashed the nucleus was, the higher the concentration of HMGB2 protein was inside it.
Okay, so how does that force get from outside the cell through the cytoplasm and signal to the nucleus to crank up HMGB2?
That signal travels through a physical cable, basically, a structure called the LINC complex.
Which anchors the cell's skeleton to the nucleus.
Exactly. And they identified a specific protein in that complex, Nesprin-2, that was required for both HMGB2 accumulation and for building that protective tubulin cage.
So the whole system is connected. The nucleus itself even hardened.
It did. Proteins like lamin AC, which give the nucleus its stiffness, increased by about threefold.
So the physical stress hardens the nucleus while simultaneously flipping the genetic switch via HMGB2. What is HMGB2 actually doing to the DNA?
Well, HMGB2 is a DNA bender. It physically grabs onto the chromatin, and under confinement, it sticks to the chromatin for much longer.
And what does that do?
That increased interaction, it basically unlocks the genome. It broadly increases chromatin accessibility.
Like opening up a tightly packed book.
A perfect analogy.
Yeah.
It specifically opens up the pages, the genetic loci associated with neural crest and neuronal development. It exposes the binding sites for the master regulators of invasion, like AP1 and SOX9.
So HMGB2 is physically restructuring the genome to favor this aggressive neuronal identity.
That's the mechanism.
Which brings us to the really profound clinical implications. Let's go back to that go or grow trade-off.
Right, to prove HMGB2 was the cause, they genetically disrupted it in the zebrafish.
And the result was, I have to say, pretty counterintuitive.
It was, absolutely. Yeah. When they knocked out HMGB2, the tumors grew almost twice as large.
But
they were significantly less invasive.
So that proves it. HMGB2 actively enforces that trade-off. It forces the cell to start growing.
And start moving. It sacrifices proliferation for invasion.
That's just fascinating. But the biggest clinical threat here has to be drug tolerance.
It is. The confined HMGB2 activated cells were resistant to chemotherapy, specifically to Taxol.
And what about targeted therapies?
Even more critically, in mouse models, overexpressing HMGB2 significantly impaired the tumor's response to debrafenib and trametinib.
And those are the standard of care drugs for BRAF mutant melanoma.
The standard of care. The difference in tumor volume was clear and statistically significant.
So we're really looking at a scenario where physical force isn't just a byproduct of cancer, it's a powerful epigenetic cue.
It absolutely is. It drives stable changes in chromatin architecture, leading to this aggressive, drug-resistant, neuronal-like state.
The tumor adapts to being crushed by becoming tougher and moving out.
That's the whole story. And while the study focused on HMGB2's role with DNA, we know these proteins can also bind RNA. So there's probably even more to this story.
More ways that these cells are hijacking neuronal programs to metastasize.
So what's the central take-home message here?
The insight is that mechanical pressure from the tissue around a tumor forces melanoma cells to undergo this profound switch. They willingly sacrifice growth for invasion and drug resistance.
And this whole transition is orchestrated by one protein, HMGB2, which senses the confinement, remodels the entire genome, to activate a neuronal-like invasion program.
And even build a protective internal cage to help it on its way.
It really makes you rethink everything. I mean, if the physical landscape of the tumor, the stiffness, the pressure, is what triggers lethal drug resistance, what does that mean for treatment strategies that only focus on genetic mutations and completely ignore the tumor's mechanical world?
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now, stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science base by base.
Where hidden traffic flows, chromatin loosens like a turning key. The harder the squeeze, the clearer we see.